the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I am joined now by the co-founders of Pardiac. We've got Will Kennedy and Rady Kanai. Thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you for having us.
So if you could first tell me, what is Pardiac?
So Pardiac joins the whole nightlife community in one place. So for a user, we're that friend that knows exactly where to go, the best events, the best drink specials, all that. For venues, we're a direct channel to promote directly to those customers. And then for promoters, we're the best tool to build your network.
Awesome. So how did you guys come up with the idea?
So we started it. We're actually college buddies. We went to University of Connecticut. That's where we met. Basically, one day we wanted to go out. The thing about in Connecticut, at UConn, it's always cold. It's not like LA, right? So when you want to go out, you need to know, you know, that is going to be a good place, because if not, you're going to spend the time getting ready and going through the rain and the snow to get to the bar. So with us, that's basically what happened. We wanted to go out one day, and, you know, we went all the way out to the bar and it was completely dead, and we had to walk all the way back in the rain and it was cold. And we said, hey, this has got to be a better way to do this, to know what's going on around you without having to go all the way to the bar.
So what is that better way that you've created for your users? Take me through kind of all the things that they get to explore and know before they commit to where they're going out for the night.
Sure. So by bringing everyone together on one platform, right, we connect everyone in a unique way. Right. So you log on to the app, you not only see all the places around you, but you see the events, any exclusive drink specials they got going on, where your friends are going, you can invite friends, so forth. So we basically give users one environment to plan their night together. And not only that, you can see exactly how the scene's going to be before you go. So instead of driving around, going from bar to bar, going home disappointed, you're going to know what you're going into and have a great time no matter what.
So great idea, but obviously idea is just the first part of being an entrepreneur. It is all in the execution, and you guys decided to execute this right out of college, and you had to bootstrap it. So take me back to that time. What was that like when you had the idea and you went, we're going to make this happen? What were some of those next steps you took?
So I think, you know, with us, the thing being, we knew we wanted to create an app, but none of us were technical co-founders. So, you know, right off the bat, we knew that was going to be a challenge, but that wasn't something that we thought we couldn't overcome. And I think that's what a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, they might stop there. They might say, I can't do it because I don't know how to code. But I think now in today's society, you can learn everything. You can go on Google, you can figure out how to make a pitch deck. You can figure out where to find other people that know how to code, and you can really get things done. So basically what we did is, we just moved out from our houses in Connecticut. We came to LA and just sort of started working on it, and every day kept progressing until we started kind of figuring out what we were doing, going along the way, making mistakes, but we eventually got it to a place where we knew what we were doing and we can move forward.
Yeah, and obviously so many benefits to being in Los Angeles or the Bay Area, because you have a built-in tech community and network. But do you think in hindsight that was a crucial step? You know, if there's someone watching or listening that does not live in Los Angeles or the Bay Area, do you think, hey, if you want to make a tech company work, I'd really recommend you move to these cities?
Yeah, definitely. So we got the ball rolling in Connecticut. We soon found, while there are a lot of resources there, we weren't exactly in the environment to grow it, right? So we came out here, we slept on air mattresses, ate a lot of ramen noodles, right? And finally built the dream to the point where we got the support to make it a reality. And one thing that's unique about us is when we started this, we were barely the drinking age, right? So this was a dream. And on top of that, we weren't coming out of different companies. We weren't exactly well-versed in business itself. So we had to learn everything as we went, right? Every facet of the business. Because when you're an entrepreneur, you have to handle everything. And when you do get to the point where you hire people, that helps you so much, because then you know exactly how to do it and what to expect of people you hire. So that was probably the biggest learning curve for us. And without being in LA, we wouldn't have been surrounded by the people to learn from, to meet, to ask questions of, like pick up a call, and the mentors we have, the investors we have, they're all so supportive and also so important to our growth, not only personally, but as a company.
Right. Yeah. So tell me about the various hats that you had to wear in the beginning.
Yeah. So when we originally started, we we knew we couldn't code yet, but we at least needed something to give to somebody that could code. So we didn't know how to design everything. So we learned how to design the UIs for apps. We learned how to what sort of backends were needed. We learned sort of the marketing aspects. Pretty much everything, creating a pitch book, talking to investors, a lot of different like aspects and a lot of different avenues that you need to master or you need to have a good grasp on to start. And like Will said it, being the first co-founders of a company, you need to wear all the different hats. And you got to be comfortable in all these different atmospheres. You got to step out of your comfort zone and do something you might not, know how to do because nobody else in the company can do it.
And of course, once you get that investment money, that's a game changer because then you can hire a team and they can do all the things that you aren't an expert in. So was that one of the first steps, was putting your pitch deck together and going out and trying to get funding?
Yeah, that's definitely the most important step. And one thing about that is that not only does the investment help you, but preparing for the investment helps you. It really helps you identify who you are, where your company is, where you're going, right? So when you plan that whole process, it lays a roadmap for you. And we've been fortunate enough to have very supportive investors so far. We've built PartyAct more of a family than a business. So one thing I would tell young entrepreneurs is there's a lot of ways to get money. So make sure who you bring in can not only bring money, but bring that support I talked about. Bring different variables into play that can help your company grow in different ways.
So they're also an advisor and a mentor and really going to help you with the execution and be
exactly.
brains behind it too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I know in the beginning you tried outsourcing, but when you had that capital to be able to hire a full-time team, that was huge for you guys too. So tell me a little bit about when you did that and why it was so helpful.
Yeah, well, the thing about that is, when you go with outsourcing a firm or anything like that, number one, you're not going to get the best quality from people because they don't share the same vision as you. They have a job and they do their job. When you bring somebody in that can work with you side by side and all follow a common goal, you can do things a lot quicker. So in the beginning where you might save money going with an outsourced firm, you make that up in time. And in this sort of environment, you have to be moving quickly and evolving quickly because, technologies change every day. So you got to stay ahead of the curve and you need a whole group behind you that will, be towards one common goal. So when we went from that switch, that was, I think, one of the most helpful things to really get the ball rolling and to really start bringing, our vision to where we wanted it to be.
Yeah, and being connected to the vision is so important for your team, but then also, like you said, when you're raising money. So tell me about some of that work that you did to really discover at the core, what is PartyAct? What do we stand for? What's our vision? Tell me about some of that work.
I think that happens naturally over time because you start out with this passion, this idea to make the world a better place. And once you start getting into it and diving into it, it's naturally going to evolve, especially with mobile apps. The technology's always changing, the industry's always changing, the market's always changing. So it naturally unfolds over time. So when you channel that passion and you start building that momentum, it'll come naturally. And that's, I think, the biggest part for us was the growth from the beginning to where we are now and where we're going to be. Is the more you put into it, the more passion, the more you pursue it, is it'll happen over time.
Yeah. And what I'll also just add is, the vision that you start off with might not always end up being the vision or the product once you get to market or once you kind of do more research and figure out what people want. And so you got to be able to pivot and you got to be open to new ideas and open to kind of changing something if need be, if you see that, the data shows something else. You got to be willing to really make a big change and take a risk and sort of to continue to move forward.
And on a similar note, your business plan really is going to likely pivot throughout the years as well. And when I talk to entrepreneurs, everyone has their own different take on a business plan. Do you need it? Do you not? Is your pitch deck sufficient? Mm-hmm. So what is your take on that?
It's definitely important just to roadmap where you are. Like we said, we handle every facet. So the business plan incorporates every facet.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff, guys. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about building an app, building a tech business. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Don't overstay your welcome. This is Oren Claff with Pitch Anything, showing you how to close like the pros. When it's time to give your conclusion of your presentation, you have to provide a clear signal that you're wrapping up and the buyer isn't caught by surprise. Some people will say, hey, well, in conclusion, but you can do much better than that. For example, you could say, many companies sell products like ours. Most of them are average, some of them are downright terrible, and there's a few good ones. As you've seen here today, ours is the best in the market at spinning, whizzing, and zipping, whatever. And I leave you with this. These are the most important features that you need. This is why I'm busy, we're busy as a company, and I'm in high demand. And before I'm out of time here, we should figure out if you and I should continue the conversation we started here. This lets the buyer know that they have to earn the right to do business with you. It's not an automatic given. Remember, don't overstay your welcome. This is Everything Entrepreneur. I'm Oren Claff with Pitch Anything.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
You shouldn't...
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars, where we are continuing our conversation with the co-founders of Pardiac. Now, you guys have successfully raised money, and you're in the process of raising more money. So you know a thing or two about this, because clearly you're having success with it. So what do you think is the key to sealing the deal, to getting investment money?
The key is definitely, for us, what we found is never sell yourself short. Because when you're going out, and especially if you're a young entrepreneur, you're just starting out, you have a tendency to think, you know, you might not belong there, or there are people that might do it better than you. But you have to really remember that you can have a killer idea. You can have something very, very valuable. And you need to really be confident in portraying yourself and what you're asking for, how you're coming about or going about your investment, because that can make a key difference to the investors too, because they want to invest in people that are confident and believe in what they're doing.
Yeah, ultimately they're investing in the founders, because going back to what we were talking about before, companies pivot all the time. They need to pivot all the time, but what's a constant is the founders.
Yeah.
So if you're confident, that's going to really, really help you.
Yeah. Another thing I would just say is, when you're first starting off, you know, going, you know, into investor meetings is something that you might be nervous about and something that you've never done before. You know, the biggest lesson I think we've learned is that, you know, at the end of the day, they're people too, right? So it's not as a high stakes situation as you might think, because there's always going to be another person, or there's always going to be another meeting. But, you know, you want to be casual, and you want to just kind of let them know that, you know, what your product is and what's going on, and let them make a decision. Because there's not that much data and there's not that much stuff going on in the beginning. So they got to make it, you know, they're really, like you said, they're really betting on you as people.
Right. And I think entrepreneurs can get really intimidated because, you know, we think of Shark Tank, very formal setting, and love the show, by the way. But of course, that's a very formal setting where they're really drilling you with questions. Not to say that that setting doesn't exist as well, but I think what's probably more realistic is a little bit more of a casual setting where you do have more opportunity just to be casual and be comfortable. Would you say that's true?
Definitely. That's definitely true. Like Brady just said, they're people too. And building those relationships, getting in those casual settings, goes back to what we talked about before, where you want people that share your vision. That's the most important thing. The people you bring into your company have to have the same vision as you.
Even if they're giving you money, that's a big thing too. You don't want to just take money from everyone, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So when you have these conversations casual, and when you see them as people as well, you can really get a sense of who they are and who you'd be bringing into your family. Mm.
Yeah, really, it goes both ways. You're checking them out just as much as they're checking you out, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about how you get these meetings, because I think it's very easy as entrepreneurs to talk yourself out of going that route of raising money because you could justify, oh, I don't know anyone. But you guys are really good examples of you came to Los Angeles, you didn't have a built-in network, but you created that network. So can you tell me a little bit about that process of creating your network so you could get these mentors and meetings with potential investors?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say with that, wherever you go or wherever you are, you can always create a bigger network. There's a lot of opportunities, whether you're on, you know, where we were in Connecticut or even in LA, there's always places you can go to meet people, even if it has to be, you know, cold call, email or anything like that. You got to do what you got to do to get, in front of these people and to build your network and to be able to, talk to them. So I don't think, something like not having a network and starting off brand new should be something that should hinder somebody. Because it's always, it's on you to really grow that network and to make it happen. But it's not something that's impossible to do.
Yeah. Let's circle back to building a team, because obviously really, really crucial and important step. So do you guys have a theory when it comes to hiring the right people and then, of course, keeping them?
Right. One of the biggest learning curves for us was learning how to fire people. And I know that might sound negative or bad, but it's very important to your business, because if you're not happy or satisfied with someone that you have involved in your company, as you're starting out, there can always be this fear that, hey, if we let this person go, how are we going to find another one? It could set us back. But the opportunity cost of having that valuable team really has to be in the forefront. So we've had situations where we've had a disconnect with people or companies, and it's been the best decision we made. But that was one of the biggest learning curves, is you have to be willing to fire people that don't meet your expectations or don't share your vision.
Right. As the old saying goes, hire slow, fire fast. Do you believe in that? Do you hire slow as well?
We do hire slow. We go through multiple interview processes. We really think about, like I said, does this person have the same feeling that we do? Are they someone that we'd want to work with long time? Because as your startup, I believe it was Steve Jobs who said, hire people that can change the world. So you can get someone that's going to put in 8 hours a day, go home, not think about your product. But when you get people involved that are constantly thinking about it and think about it just as much as you do, that's when you really start to grow. Because then everyone comes together, morale is high, and you really get creative together.
So cool. Mm-hmm. And of course, that all starts with the leaders, you too. So how would you describe your leadership style?
Well, I'll say for myself, I feel like I'm more of a sort of leader where I give the person space to be able to do what they do best. We definitely keep the vision in mind, and we try to keep everything going towards one common goal. But I feel like we're not too overbearing and really stopping something from being creative or doing something another way. Like I said earlier, where you got to pivot on your ideas, a lot of times those ideas might not come from you. They might come from somebody else. And if somebody has a good idea, regardless of if, somebody that's experienced in business or not, if it's a good idea, it's a good idea, and you got to move forward with it. So.
And how about you?
We're definitely, we have two different styles, right? And that was one of the things as we grew as a company, was learning to incorporate both styles, balance each other out, because there's times where he leads me and I lead him. And at the end of the day, as much as it is for our employees and to each other, it's all about creating the environment to really flourish, right? Creating leaders within leaders. So in each one of these departments, we don't want to necessarily have to dictate everything that goes on or tell our staff everything they need to do. We want them to lead it themselves, because that's when the true innovation comes out.
Yeah, absolutely. Any final words of wisdom? We've got a few seconds left here.
Sure. I'd say for young entrepreneurs, when you first start out, just respect the process. Understand it's not going to happen overnight. So with that, weather the storms. You're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days, and they're usually back to back. On top of that, ignore the distractions. So you're going to have people that are negative. And on the flip side, you're going to have people that come in and promise you everything and they can't deliver. So you have to ignore those distractions. And then most importantly, be true to yourself, because at the end of the day, you are your most valuable employee, right? So understand that you have all this vision, you have all this work ethic, but you're also human. You're going to go through the trials and tribulations of life. So you have to be patient with yourself, really grow. And once you start to do that, then you can lead others.
Well said. I like it. Anything you want to add?
I would just say that being a young entrepreneur, you might not know how to do everything or even anything, but you can learn it. Today's society, you can learn anything. You can talk to people. You can find stuff online. And you know, that shouldn't hinder you moving forward with anything.
Well, I'm feeling inspired and motivated. So hopefully our audience is too. Thank you so much for your time, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Pleasure.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
Hey. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. And joining us right now is Dennis Yu. He's the CTO of Blitzmetrics. Dennis, it's a pleasure to have you, brother. Give us a quick recap. What's your company do?
We create jobs for young adults through training programs where the companies are subsidizing it. We do it for large enterprise companies, big brands, Golden State Warriors, Rosetta Stone, Red Bull, Nike, those kinds of things.
And you have some of the industry's highest return on ad spends. Basically, somebody gives you a dollar, you're able to give them $5, $10, $20, $40 back on their money. That may not seem exciting, except when you get into the million.
Somebody gives if you're an owner, you tell the owner, you put a dollar into the machine and you get back a 20, how many dollars would you like to put in?
That's what I'm
guarantee
saying.
It to.
When you only hear it as you spend a dollar, you make $20, but when you talk about spend a million, make 20 million, it starts to get really exciting. And you have some of the highest industry return on ad spends for your clients, which I think is exciting. And one of the ways that you do that is with something as simple as what you call the dollar a day strategy. You taught it to me. It's something that's helped me just exponentially grow my personal brand and not only get more awareness and engagement, but also make more money simply for spending a minimum of a dollar a day on Facebook. Talk about the dollar a day strategy that your company not only practices, but also teaches around the world to not only, you know, personal brands and companies like myself, but for huge Fortune 500 clients. What's the dollar per day strategy?
Dollar a day starts with inception, which is the dream inside the dream inside the dream. Because if you want to influence the influencer, think about the idea of a dollar when you use the advertising platform. It's not to advertise, it's to PR incept. I can reach 200 people. Who are the 200 exact people that you want to reach? How about the people who are the editor at Forbes? How about they write for the LA Times? How about they work at a particular kind of company? Yeah. If you're an entrepreneur, who is it that you want to reach? Do you want to reach people who work at your client to say hello? Do you want to reach likely clients? One of my friends wanted to get his stuff inside Walmart. He's got all the licensing for Elvis pillows and bedding and that kind of stuff. So he targeted all the people that work at Walmart in Bentonville, Bentonville, Arkansas, and do purchasing, right? And merchandising. That's a very tight group of 20, 30 people. And when you hit those people dollar a day with the right content, that results in phone calls. Yeah. So when we get cited in CNN or Wall Street Journal, we turn around and target the people who work at USA Today to see what the folks at Forbes and LA Times and these other places are writing about it. So anything that you have, you want to multiply forward. So the dollar day strategy is, how do I take a minimum dosage? Because as an entrepreneur, you're trying to get more for less. You're trying to appear bigger than you actually are. You don't have a lot of money. You're trying to look big, right? How do I minimum dosage? I want maximum output. Now, that doesn't result in sales right away necessarily, but it does result in influence if your content's good. If you tie it in with remarketing, Google and Facebook have remarketing, universal tags. There's all kinds of tech stuff there, right? And that's what it is. Just repeat, because when people see your stuff time and time again, they're going to see you as the young Tony Robbins. They're going to see us as the experts in digital marketing, because these reporters, they're writing stories. They don't know who the experts are. They have to put out a story every couple of days. You know, they're beat journalists, that kind of thing. And that's what you do. And they see that you're the one they're going to call you.
So for the average business owner out there who maybe says, cool, I'm not creating content right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just selling, you know, tacos out of my restaurant, or maybe I just have a mom and pop boutique store.
Right.
How can I benefit from the dollar a day strategy?
Interview your best customers. Think like a journalist. Pretend you're a reporter, and it's not about you. See, that's the inception angle. It's about them. So tell us about these tacos. Pretend it's a documentary, and you're talking about how you make it, and you're elevating your best customers. If you're a B2B software company, interview those companies. Interview anything except for you, because people, they're little spam alert advertising. You know, never talk about yourself. It's like Fight Club, right?
Yeah.
But find things that you can share that are interesting, and if you have people that are high authority, that are well-known, and you interview them, and you make them look good, and you're their unknown kind of PR agent, that will reciprocate, because that creates authority, right?
Okay.
Because of who you're associating with.
So once I get that footage, so for example, somebody comes to my restaurant, they eat my incredible tacos, and we've got great Yelp reviews. Instead of just having them write a Yelp review, maybe I incentivize them and I say, hey, I'll give you, you know, some free food next time you come back. If you just film a quick little video.
No, you don't even have to do that.
Maybe,
you know, someone brings their wife to the taco restaurant, they really like it, and then they talk about how, because it's not about the food. I mean, they'll talk about how the food is good, but how did it make them feel? Why is the wife happy? How did it achieve their, you know, the Boy Scouts bring their 30 kids over and they do their party. Make it about them.
But you pull out your phone and just record that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you put it on Facebook, put it on live, dollar a day, boost it.
Targeting
on your
to
page,
people that live in the area that may be interested.
On your YouTube channel, not your personal profile. Your page is, of course, separate.
Yeah. So people need to start thinking like a journalist, I think, is something that you just said that I found interesting, because so many people haven't identified with that type of personality yet. Like, I'm a journalist and I need to start creating content and I need to start thinking that way. And how important do you think that is to helping people build their business? Because a lot of people, I feel like, will struggle with that. And then they'll come up with a limiting belief that, what he's talking about, maybe I don't need to do, or I won't benefit from it. I'm stuck in the old school mindset, or maybe I'll outsource this or hire this out later.
Yeah.
And it stops them from taking action on it now.
There's every excuse. Oh, I'm busy right now. I don't like how I look. I'm not like Mark Lack. I'm not all super charismatic. But, you know, they're not looking at you as Beyonce or Kim Kardashian. They want to learn. And when you honestly share and you're authentic about this, people will gravitate towards you. And the idea of taking your content and putting it into a sequence, think about every one of us, even though we don't have a TV studio like this necessarily, every one of us can produce content and people are consuming it on their phone. You know, one of my friends, his name's Michael Johnson, and he's followed my stuff last 7 or 8 years. He's a great pupil. And he had two of his friends impersonate Bernie and Trump. And they have a really good shtick. They go back and forth. I'm not even going to try to like imitate them, right? And they were able to get on Comedy Central using this dollar a day strategy. Then they took to the, MTV, Music, all these different sort, you know, the Ellen and what are the other TV shows? I don't even watch TV. But they've gotten all these TV shows using the dollar a day thing, because everything that they see, for anyone that's watching here, they got to know, they got to overcome that initial hurdle. It's just like New Year's resolutions. So you just got to walk the first mile. You want to do a marathon? Yeah. Just walk the first mile. Get the first piece of content out. Because once friends start to like, once people start to engage with you, that gives you feedback on what you do next. And it's not the kind of thing you hire an agency, you have to spend a lot of money. No, this is just you. And what I like to say is, can you create a 1 minute video? It could be a 1 minute video about why did you start your restaurant, or about your co-founder, about a problem, without selling. Because if you sound like you're selling, you're dead. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
So it simply starts with putting out content and getting yourself out there. CTO of Blitz Metrics, Dennis Yu, is joining us right now. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining us, Dennis Yu, an expert and genius in the area of helping people not only get their message out there, but help build their personal brand. And I love that you're saying people need to just put content out, because I struggle with it. I think a lot of people struggle with it in the beginning. You're worried about what people are going to think. You're worried you're not going to say the right things. You're worried if the lighting or the quality isn't going to be good enough.
Your first ones suck. Just
your
do
first
it.
Ones suck. My first interviews, my first speaking engagements on stages, my first videos, my first program, all that stuff sucked when you look back at it. But I love what you're saying is you just have to get out. You just have to start doing it. Is there a situation, is there a context where somebody maybe shouldn't be putting content out? Or is it just kind of like, if you're serious, you're trying to sell products, you're trying to impact the world, you need to be creating content?
Depends on who you're interviewing. So if you're in the area of healthcare and legal and finance, like in cosmetic surgery, we have a couple of cosmetic surgery clients, they can't just put stuff out there. There's HIPAA rules, there's financial rules. But generally, you can do this with permission, and you'd be surprised at how often people will give you permission. Yeah. So let's say a customer, let's say you're monitoring what's going on Yelp and Google and whatever. Someone checks and they say, oh, Mark's thing was really good, whatever the product is or thing that you offer. And then you reply, it's called lightweight consent. You reply, can I quote you on that? Mm-hmm. And they say, yes, stick it on all your marketing materials. Say, wow, I'd really love, you know, next time you come in, I'd love to talk to you about you and your kind of thing. So when you think like a journalist, that's how you create this kind of power. And then you create a library, and you want to have what we call a minion or a specialist that maintains this library for you, because you're a busy entrepreneur. Find someone. It could be your kid. It could be somebody who graduated at UCLA. There's lots of these people.
Hire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead of working at McDonald's, they can work on your stuff.
Let's shift gears real fast here. What's the worst job you ever had? Have you had a worse job?
Man, probably for Philip Morris, I was part of the cigarette recall that was like 20
what
years
did
ago.
What did that entail?
Well, they had some defective cigarettes from Marlboro, and we had to go.
What's
from
a defective cigarette?
I don't know. Must have had like some. It was a
rat
recall.
Poison in it?
Like maybe the tobacco was old or something like that. So we had to go from store to store. I remember we were in, I think, Compton and East LA, and going from store to store, wearing my little badge saying, "Yep, I'm from Philip Morris," and I have to
take the cigarettes back.
Give me all your cigarettes. Yeah, you can give me all your Marlboro cigarettes.
That couldn't have been easy to do.
Yeah, and then I'm sure all the bums are like trying to get our cigarettes from us. So I quickly learned that if you don't choose what you want to do, someone's going to choose for you. And I was just trying to make some money for summer, right? I didn't know any better.
So you just said a powerful quote. If you don't choose, somebody's going to choose for you. I feel like a lot of the times people just in life, they choose to go down the path of having a 9-to-5 job.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of people have let others choose the path that they're supposed to live because of the way it used to be. But I feel like with exponential change and technology and other things in life, I feel like there's a lot of new opportunities out there that people can capitalize on. You know, the majority of the workforce will be independent contractors soon. Mm. So what is your advice for the people out there who maybe have a 9-to-5 job right now? They're extremely passionate about entrepreneurship and want to have their own business. They're trying to connect the pieces, and they're listening to shows like this.
Yeah.
They just don't know what the right move is to make for them. What advice do you have for that person?
Be a keen observer of the passing world. When you're working another job, those contain the seeds to the next thing that you do, because you don't want to jump into something just because, oh, my friend does it and I want to try to do it too. That's a disaster. You want to start with where you have the connections. Where do you have the expertise? Where can you already start something? Can you moonlight maybe? A lot of people, so I won't say the name of the person, but someone famous yesterday called for some emergency coaching and said, oh, I'm not really happy in this current job. I want to do this other thing. And we said, well, you can actually do both. And in fact, if you're really good at what you do, you're going to be a good employee, ironically, at that job. At the same time, this builds your personal brand. So ironically, if you're going to start something else, be the best employee that you can, because that probably is going to align with your expertise, unless you're doing something that's so awful that you're just doing that to pay, you're like driving Uber or whatever. Right?
Yeah,
we know 40% of the jobs out there are contingent jobs. I mean, people are doing it part-time just because they're trying to make a little extra money. I'm not saying become an expert in Uber, but you certainly have some kind of expertise. Build that network. Don't be so quick to try to jump out. You know, Vaynerchuk talks about that too. You've got to moonlight. You got to work twice as hard, because you got to work two jobs in the interim until you can say, all right, I'm going to quit. Because you don't want to just quit and all of a sudden you're in trouble.
Have no cash flow to pay bills.
If you've got kids and a mortgage, be careful about that.
Powerful stuff. Dennis,
Thank you, Mark.
The myth, the legend. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. Why should hiring be your number one priority? I'm Pat O'Brien with a Business Rockstars Minute. When launching a startup or a brand new business, it's hard to understand what tasks to delegate, what to delay, and what needs to get done right away. One area you should do yourself is hiring. Hiring the right people is a skill, and you only get better with practice. Here are some tips on how to identify great people to build your team with. First, realize a resume is just a piece of paper. Don't get caught up in qualifications. Hire people who genuinely fit your vision and share your passion for the company. Fit is everything. This is something that cannot be taught. Finally, character. Are they honest? Are they selfless? Team player? Use these tips as a guideline. You'll be much better equipped to choose the right candidates. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free, no credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
President Trump's new tax law cut your taxes by $5 trillion. Now you can reduce your taxes to zero. The best-selling guide, The Trump Tax Cut by Eva Rosenberg, shows you how, with tax deductions, loopholes, and money-saving secrets. One loophole gives a 20% cut in your tax rate. Newsmax says get The Trump Tax Cut in bookstores or see the free offer and save almost $25. Go online now to TrumpTaxCut.com. That's TrumpTaxCut.com or call 800-NEWSMAX.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The C Word, and I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. To be breakthrough is to be brave. Many small breakthroughs can lead inevitably to a big breakthrough, the kinds of breakthroughs that advance the fight against cancer, the ones that save lives by the millions. You are the breakthrough. You, the patients taking part in clinical trials. You, the scientists doing next-level research to beat cancer. You, the doctors and nurses who tirelessly care for everyone along the way. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Stand Up to Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Actually, it's CEO Roundtable with Brian Nickerson and Ian Chen, Discotech Inc. CEO, and Magic Links CEO and co-founder. I want to talk about the culture of your companies. What is the culture over there?
Yeah, our culture is still very, it's a small company, founded with two of my friends from UC Berkeley. We're still living together and working together out of our apartment with some of our employees. So it's very
like Silicon Valley.
It's a little bit, yeah, but in LA. Yeah.
It's a bigger valley in LA.
True.
What's the culture over there?
Yeah, I mean, we're similarly small, right? So when you have a team of, you know, we're three people, seven people part-time. And when you have a small team, culture is important, but like you don't have as much time to put it in place. But I think the main thing is we know we're successful if we make the people who we work with successful. And so that sort of is our true north as we think about culture.
I've always wondered, at what point do you consider expanding and hiring new employees?
We're actually doing that right now. Right. It's, you know, part of it was limitations on our resources. Mm-hmm. We've recently brought in some more funding, so we're able to make some key hires, both on the tech development side and also the operations side. For us, we want to make sure that people we bring on are being optimized to their full potential. Right. So we want to make sure that there's...
You just don't want a gang of people in the office.
Yeah,
all of a
we bring them in one at a time, make sure people are fully loaded and essentially, you know, at 100% capacity before we look to bring on other people. We just want to make sure that we're leveraging our resources and our dollars well.
How about you, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of think of it as like we have a there's a burning need and we're like too late to hire. Generally, that's how we've been in early startup mode.
Well, that's called growth too. I mean, yeah. Why didn't we think of that?
Yeah. And so once that need is like so acute, then you know you need that resource and then you get someone on board. And you want to be in front of that as much as you can, but right now it's like we want to build that traction so that when we bring someone on board, we know they're 100%.
And what is the focus? Hard. What's the focus level when you're thinking about all these things about how many to have, what's the next step? How do you stay focused as a CDO?
I think I try to look at what our key objectives are.
Good, by the way, good saying we. It's good for your company.
It is. I mean, it's me and my co-founders. But for us, the first one right now is how do we get more users and more engagement into the platform, right? So then we'll think about, okay, we need to add these features or these services to our app or to our product. So we first look at, you know, what's necessary to get more users, to engage them more, and then lastly, how do we better monetize that?
Brian is the CEO and co-founder of Magic Links. Is it exponential once you start getting people to come play with you?
Yeah, I mean, so we're all about empowering authentic communication. Mm-hmm. So when someone on YouTube is doing that, you'll see the viewership rise, their subscribers rise, and their e-commerce numbers rise. And so as we start to see, those are the type of partnerships, and we're constantly learning the marketplace, right? So we see that, we observe those patterns, then we try to find those type of partners and bring value to them. And it is exponential as you see them sort of start to embrace fully their fans.
It's like beyond exponential, right? At this point, I mean, it's we had a long conversation about it earlier. I mean, just everything is taking off so much. When do you say no?
Say no to
anything. I mean, you know, when people start diving in and want to be a part of it.
Yeah. It's still making sure that you have the right people on board. So if something's not a good fit, it is important to prioritize and know when to say no to wrong opportunities that, you know, would distract you.
Right. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is the CEO Roundtable, Brian Nickerson and Ian Chen. Did you always want to be a CEO? Did you always envision yourself as a CEO?
I think growing up as a kid, I always had an entrepreneurial itch to go out and do something on my own. You know, whether that was with the team or by myself, I wasn't too sure. But I knew I ultimately wanted to work for myself and have my own business.
Where does that come from?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, because most kids want to be a whatever, fireman, yeah. You know, policeman or whatever. But yeah. I'm meeting more and more people in here that just, you know, out of the box, knew they were going to be a CEO.
Yeah, I mean, I think of it as like I've always wanted to have an impact, and entrepreneurship is a way. It's like I think of it almost as an art form where you can have a huge impact through bringing something to creation into the world. And if you can inspire people as part of that journey or change the way that people engage, you know, with going out at night, right? Yeah. Or with how they're engaging with content in any way. Yeah. There's something really, the artistry of it is really compelling to me, as sort of a day-to-day practice. And then from a bigger perspective, it's just like, how are you impacting the world?
Right. I like the answer. Yeah. Good answer.
Do either one of you have friends?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just say goodbye to the social life, right?
It definitely hurts.
Yeah. I mean, in a bad way. Yeah. And how do you balance the life balance when work balance?
I think your work definitely takes priority. You have to find, it is a marathon and not a sprint. So you do have to find some time to carve out and make sure you're enjoying life and staying sane. But for the most part, it's very skewed towards doing the work, doing whatever needs to be done and making sure your baby, you know, survives.
Exactly. Do you remember your first big mistake?
I think...
big mistake is kind of a putting words in your mouth. Your first setback.
Yeah, one of our biggest setbacks was having one of our initial co-founders depart. That's never easy. That was a big impact both to the team in terms of productivity, but also to morale. And I think that, you know, for us at the time, there was no really way to, you know, see that and forecast that, but... definitely felt that.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. So, I mean, one of our big setbacks, really, we reached a point where we needed to pivot the company. Mm-hmm. So before Magic Links, I had a company called Chipmunk and we were doing coupons online. And we really reached a point where that business wasn't going anywhere. And so you can think of it as a setback, right? Because we raised money against an objective that we were trying to achieve and we weren't making that traction. But you can also see it as an opportunity. And that's a time too, where I think like friends come into play so much. And investors, right? People who will tell you maybe what you don't already know or aren't ready to hear yet or need to hear. And so for me, that was a bit of a setback, but it also how I embrace setback, right, is like, what can I learn from it and where can we go from that setback and be better tomorrow from it?
And that's, you know, I always wonder, and you and I were talking about it earlier, how do you know? I mean, as a CEO, how do you know if you're making the right move?
I don't think you ever really know for sure if what you're doing is the best possible
move. If you
didn't
know, we'd all be in Vegas.
Yeah, out of all the options, you just try to keep moving forward, making decisions that you see are good. And if you do have the luxury of looking back and evaluating, if you know, hopefully learning from those mistakes and moving forward and making better decisions in the future.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. This has been CEO Roundtable, Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. See you next time.